You're listening to Hardwired with Jeff Wickwire. Here's what's coming up in today's edition.
Now, the Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last days, some will turn away from the true faith. They will follow deceptive spirits. Notice, pneuma, spirits, demonic personalities. They will follow deceptive personalities, demons, teachings that come from demons. A lot of people don't realize demons teach. Satan teaches. These people are hypocrites and liars, and their consciences are dead.
When was the last time you experienced spiritual growth? When was the last time you felt like you were experiencing the presence of the Lord? If you desire to cultivate growth in your faith and break free from the dullness that may have settled into your relationship with Jesus, Pastor Jeff shares that consistency in your prayer life is vital. Never cease lifting your cares, worries, and aspirations to Him. Just as a plant needs regular watering to flourish, you'll thrive when you stay in communion with Jesus. Well, let's join Pastor Jeff in the book of Jude as he begins his message, Judgment on Apostates.
We're going to talk about a powerful part of Jude. It's so strong. But you know, the word is strong. And if you teach it like it's written, it's going to cut, it's going to convict, it's going to speak, it's going to build you. It's going to build me. And I told you, I think recently, I've never had anybody, rarely does anybody ever say to me, Pastor Jeff, you're so eloquent. No, I don't ever hear that. Here's what I hear. Thank you for staying with the Word. Now that I hear, all right? Now we're going to talk tonight about apostates, because Jude does. This is not my choice, Jude does. And the judgment that's coming on apostates, and I'm going to tell you what an apostate is. But the last time, if you were here with me, we ended up looking at three men mentioned by Jude. And they were Cain and Balaam and Korah. And they're used as illustrations of modern day apostasy and what exactly it attacks. Now, remember, Jude started writing this letter saying, I was going to write you about our common salvation. He has something totally different in his mind when he sat down to write this word. And then the Holy Spirit changed him. And he says it at the first couple of verses. I was going to write to you about this, but I've got to talk to you now about that. Not our common salvation, but the attack against the faith. How the faith, once delivered to the saints, is under attack. Now I ask you, church, is the faith, once delivered to the saints, under attack in our day? Yes. Come on, everybody, is it under attack? Yes. Have you ever seen it under such a concerted, laser-like attack? Have you? In America? I haven't. So Jude is going to approach this topic of the attack against the faith, our need to stand up for and contend for, wrestle for, fight for, spiritually speaking, the real faith once delivered to the saints. And he's gonna draw parallels and make examples and use illustrations. So Cain represented apostasy's attack on the salvation of God. Because what did Cain do? He said, I'm going to come to God my way. And that's one way our faith is under attack. People saying, oh, it can't be just one way. There's many ways to God. But that's the doctrine of Cain. There's not many ways. All right? Then Balaam. He represents apostasy's attack on the sovereignty of God. Korah represents apostasy's attack on the service of God. Because Korah attacked the servants of God and what God had called them to undermine it. And Jude's message is, as Korah tried to undermine the ministry of God through his chosen servants, so will apostates do in the last days. They will undermine the faith. They will attack the faith. Now, the reason this whole issue of contending for the faith once delivered to the saints And it means once for all. Never needs to be delivered again. It's once for all delivered to the saints. Matters so much to Jude and the other apostles, and it should to us as well, because apostasy directly attacks the person and the work of Jesus. Apostasy undermines, belittles, steals from, covertly and overtly seeks to pull down the faith that saves you, the faith that'll get you to heaven, the faith that Jesus came to establish. It damns souls to eternal lostness and destroys the pillars of truth upon which the church stands. So apostasy is a big deal. And let me ask you this question. Are we seeing some apostasy around us these days? Oh, you better know it. Now, understanding why Jude was all worked up about that, I started to write you one thing, but I'm going to write to you about apostasy. Why it mattered, why he levels this fierce attack against the apostates themselves and their false message. Because if they get away with it, people will go to an eternal hell listening to it. Remember, apostasy and backsliding are two different things. What's the difference, Jeff? I'm glad you asked. A backslider is a genuine believer who slowly, they stop reading their Bibles, they stop talking about Jesus, they stop praying, they get out of church, they drift. They generally get caught up in some kind of a sin, and they slide back. They backslide. See, we ought to always be front sliding, right? We ought to be going forward at all times. But the backslider backslides. I want to live my life front sliding. Amen? So that's a backslider. And the thing about it is, the road to restoration is always open for them. God says in Hosea, I will heal their backsliding if they come back to me and repent. Amen? Isn't that good? I will love them freely. So backsliders can always come back. Backsliders can come back. They just got to repent and admit it, fess up to what they're doing, and let the Lord forgive them and bring them back home. The prodigal son was a backslider. Okay? It says when he came to himself, and that means he woke up one day and said, what in the world am I doing? How did I get in this pig pen eating pig's food when my father's house has T-bones? And I could be there where I could have everything that I ever needed. But here I am, I'm eating pig's food and I'm surrounded by slop, which is where you always end up when you backslide. So here's the deal, apostasy is different. Apostasy is a total renunciation of the faith. I want nothing to do with Jesus. I want nothing to do with the shed blood of Christ. I want nothing to do with any of it. I renounce it, I denounce it, I walk away from it, I eschew it, I throw it from me. I want nothing to do with it. Apostasy. The Living Bible puts it this way. Well, first of all, let me read it to you out of New King James. Paul says, here's an apostate. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power that would save them. Okay? So the apostate, I believe, has never been saved. They've walked around the periphery of the things of God. They know about it. They might even be able to teach a Sunday school, but they've never really come to Christ and been saved. That's the apostate. Backslider is saved. The apostate, I don't believe, has ever been saved. Living Bible says they will go to church, yes, but they won't really believe anything they hear. So they are the tares growing up next to the wheat. And there's all kinds of terrors, but the thing is, the apostate comes to church. They come for social reasons. They come because they just are lonely, or they may like the music. They may like something about the church itself, but their tares growing up next to the wheat. And Jesus said, you got to let them grow up together, and he will separate them when he comes back to judge. These are the types of people Paul was talking about in 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last days, some will turn away from the true faith. They will follow deceptive spirits. Notice, pneuma, spirits, demonic personalities. They will follow deceptive personalities, demons, teachings that come from demons. A lot of people don't realize demons teach. Satan teaches. These people are hypocrites and liars, and their consciences are dead. So there you go. Apostates leave the true faith, of which they were never truly a part, and they follow demonic teaching. And in turn, here's the dangerous thing, they teach others the same. And these are the targets of Jude's letter. This is who he's targeting. This is who he wants God's people to understand. That there's teachers out there in church settings teaching things that demons teach. They may say, praise the Lord, hallelujah, kumbaya. They got all the Christian speak, but they're not living it and they've never been truly saved. And some of them end up behind pulpits or in Sunday school classes or some other context teaching Christians nuances and things that are not true about the Christian faith. And they lead astray. So Jude says, I don't want you folks, you Christians, to be fooled by this. I want you to discern it and know it and avoid it. So we're going to pick up at verse 12 where Jude paints the apostates in really unflattering and powerful terms. Here's what he calls them. First of all, he doesn't pull any punches. He is not politically correct here. All right? Here's what he says. These are spots in your love feast. How many of you would love to be called a spot? Okay? These are spots in your love feast. While they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. Now, what he's describing here is the infiltration of false teachers among you. In Bible times, it was a sign and a bond of friendship and fellowship to sit at a table and eat together. Christians love to eat. You want to get a good crowd, serve food, right? And Jude is showing the devious nature of the apostates of his time. Because what were they doing? They attended the church's love feasts, the potlucks, okay? When food is served, they attended. They sat down with them. They ate with them, and all the while undermining and betraying the faith they know the Christians hold to. The word spots can be translated hidden rocks. And it pictures a rock or a dangerous reef hidden just below the waves that cause a shipwreck. So the apostates shipwreck the lives of the gullible because the false teachings are the rocks underneath the water the ship runs into, doesn't see coming, and it sinks. Jude points out their arrogance by saying they have no fear. They have no fear. They feast with you without fear. There's no fear of God, no fear of judgment, no fear of discovery. They do not have a fear of God because they don't believe in the God that we do. Now see, all they had was the love feast, but here's what we have. We have social media, we have TV, we have radio, we have so many different ways false teachers can infiltrate your world, and they are rocks underneath your life. And if you don't discern it, you hit them and they mess with your faith. Confuse you, trip you up. They even go so far as to pass themselves off as pastors or shepherds of the flock. But their goal is to undermine and destroy the faith once delivered to the saints because they don't hold to that. They don't hold to the faith once delivered to the saints. No, that's not what they're about. Jude says, in summary, they are confident imposters, deceivers of the first order. Remember what Paul said, angels of light. They come to you as a light bearer, you know, somebody that you can trust. But if you don't know the word of God, they're a rock underneath the water, and the ship of your faith can strike it and be in real trouble. Now, next, Jude uses four really striking metaphors to describe them. His metaphors are going to explain why the followers of these apostates always end up, listen carefully to me, they end up disappointed, disillusioned, and distressed. Verse 12, the second half, they are clouds without water, carried about by the winds. What would you think about dark rain clouds gathering overhead? Wind starts to blow. You start thinking, all right, we're going to get the creeks filled back up again, the lakes filled back, the ponds filled again. And not one drop falls out of those clouds. And you're looking and you're looking. The starving animals are looking, the thirsty animals. We need water, we need water. But it never comes. He says, that's your picture of the false teaching apostates. They promise you water, but there's no water. They don't deliver. You end up disappointed, disillusioned, and distressed when you live out what they've taught and it doesn't deliver. See, if I teach you rightly the word of God, it's going to deliver every time. My word will do. God says it'll do what it's sent forth to accomplish. It'll do. It'll act. It'll come through because it's true. But if I teach you fake stuff and you live on it and you practice it and it doesn't deliver, then here's what you do. You go, well, maybe Christianity is not real. Maybe I'm just messing around on the wrong thing. Maybe I need to become a Buddhist or something else. Okay? That's the problem. So Jude says that while to others the false teachers appear to be clouds bringing rain of spiritual refreshing. Oh, they got a great revelation, a new revelation. They got it going on. They're full of charisma. I love them. They soon discover the apostates bring no rain. Their message is bereft of truth, and it's bereft of God's blessing. But it takes time for you and I to find that out. In the meantime, they got your money. Are y'all with me?
Amen.
I'm going to let that land all on its own, and I'm going to go on now. Here's the deal. They are a sham. Driven, says Jude, by uncertain winds. They don't know where they're not stable. They're not anchored in spiritual stability. Their message never saves, satisfies, or sanctifies. It deceives, disillusions, and destroys. Now, the next metaphor he uses is late autumn trees. Boy, these are so graphic. Late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots. So here's the apostates now. They don't deliver. And here's what they are. The expression without fruit, or as the King James says, whose fruit withereth, refers to trees that bear no fruit at the time when fruit is in season. They don't deliver. When they should manifest the blessing of fruitfulness, there's nothing. This is why Jesus said, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits or the lack thereof. Jude concurs. They are also twice dead. Not only are they born spiritually dead, like all of us, we're all born spiritually dead. We need to be born again. They're born, but they die twice. When they're offered eternal life through Jesus Christ, they spurn it. They're twice dead. Jude says they'll be plucked up by the roots. There's no hope for them. They're going to be plucked up by the roots. They're not only dead, but they're doomed. Remember Jesus' words, every plant my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. Jude puts it, plucked up by the roots. There's a day of judgment coming, everybody. There is a day of judgment coming. Now, next comes a metaphor that is also very graphic. Raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame. How many of you get the idea that Jude is not a fan of these people? You get the idea, right? I'm just reading to you the Bible. This is the Bible. Raging waves of the sea. You know what it means? They're dangerous. Raging waves leave sunken ships in their wake. Raging waves. Raging waves destroy whole towns. We've seen whole towns destroyed by raging waves in a bad storm, hurricane. Terrible storms. Apostates are dangerous like raging waves. I have seen the raging waves of false teaching sweep across churches and ruin them. I have. I've been around long enough to see that. I've seen raging waves of false prophets, false teaching, sweep across the whole country and leave all kinds of devastation in its wake. They foam out their own shame. Jude says. The word he uses occurs only here in the whole Bible. And it comes from a root word meaning to foam at the mouth like a rabid dog. They foam at the mouth like a rabid dog, spiritually speaking. They're teaching rabid stuff. Can y'all take one more metaphor? All right, here we go. Now we come to the last one. Wandering stars, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Wandering stars. Now this talks about the eternal doom of the apostate. And I don't get anything out of saying that. I don't get anything out of seeing anybody go to eternal doom. That's why we witness all the time and offer the true gospel of Christ all the time, because it alone can save you. Jesus saves through that gospel. But it's talking about the eternal doom of the apostate. He likens them to wandering stars. Now, in the natural, all stars move, all of them. Our own sun is a moving star. You know our sun is moving? Now, I'm not going to tell you that it revolves around the earth. I'm not going there. So don't let me scare you there. But here's the thing. Our sun is moving. It's located around, now here's some numbers that will blow your mind. Our sun is located about 30,000 light years from the center of the Milky Way galaxy. It is one of a cluster of some 100 billion stars that inhabit this corner of space. Staggering. You know what's more staggering? God's named them all. How do you name them all? But God's named them all. So catch this, everybody. A little bit of space facts here. The whole galaxy, some 600 million billion miles of stars. I'm going to say it again. 600 million billion miles of stars. I got to say that one more time. 600 million billion miles of stars are revolving around a center. And although it's traveling through space at an inconceivable speed, our sun will complete its own orbit about every 200 million years. That make you feel about this big? You thought you were important. Did you hear that? Now watch this. When God created the stars, he appointed their courses. How great is our God? Okay? 600 million billion miles of stars just in our corner of the universe that we know anything about. He appointed them, gave them their names, and counted them, says Psalms 147, verse 4. He counted them. And he knows the hairs on your head, when you were born, when you're going to die, what you're thinking, what you're doing, how you're living, what you believe, what you don't believe, and how he intends to use you for his glory. It's just awesome. So much so, David says, the heavens declare the glory of God. You think? The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows his handiwork, God's handiwork. You think all of that came to pass from a big bang? No. And the Bible says those stars are for signs and for season. But Jude isn't concerned about those stars. They are orderly stars, obeying God's decrees.
In the relentless war against your faith, the world will never stop assailing you with doubts, skepticism, and scorn. In today's message, Pastor Jeff shared that in the face of such assaults, your response needs to be to turn away from apostasy. Make the deliberate pivot and decisive act of running in the opposite direction. Reject the alluring whispers of doubt and disbelief. Instead, run towards the unfailing truth of God's promises, shielding your faith from apostasy.
You've been listening to Hardwired with Jeff Wickwire. Would you be interested in helping support this ministry as we further the gospel? All you have to do is go to hardwired.org and click on donate. We're so grateful for your continued support in listening to this program and also investing in the ministry. Once again, the website is hardwired.org to donate. Here's Daniel one more time with a sneak peek about the next edition.
The urgency to cast out apostasy has never been more critical. In our current world, those who harbor disdain for the Lord are not only keeping God's promises out of their lives, but actively propagating their disbelief to those around them. In his following message, Pastor Jeff reminds you that the more you reject the divine truths of the Lord, the more you spread darkness to this weary world. The stakes have never been higher than to be on a mission for Jesus. That's all the time we have for today's edition of Hardwired with Jeff Wickwire. If you'd like a copy of today's message, download it from our website, hardwired.org. Be sure to tune in again as Pastor Jeff continues teaching through the book of Jude next time on Hardwired.